The New Year's sermon series is titled Growing in God's Garden, and the fruit focus this week is the raisin. The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven into despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. The word of the Lord.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Thank you, Pastor Brady, for bringing the word this morning. Good job. Y'all couldn't hear all the comments up here this morning between he and Daniel, but he was basically telling Daniel what to say this morning. Yeah. Well, growing God's garden. Today is our final sermon in this particular sermon series. Fruit or vegetable of the week is the raisin. Who here needs a raisin today? I'm not talking about the dried fruit variety. I'm talking about the real raisin. Some sort of raisin from the dead, so to speak. You see, our Bible passage talks about several different kinds of what we might call little deaths or mini deaths that we might experience as we walk through this life in this world. We might refer to these as challenges, if you will, but the reading actually uses these words: afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. I believe each and every one of us can probably relate to at least one of these. You know, when it comes to being afflicted, maybe it's afflicted with a recent diagnosis, or possibly a chronic illness. Maybe it's an insurmountable debt. Possibly it's an unhealthy habit, over-drinking, overeating, a gambling habit. Maybe a sexaholic. But maybe you've been recently tagged with a DUI that's now on your record. Maybe it's something like worry or fear. You see, we can be afflicted with any number of things. But we can also be perplexed. Why did he cheat on me? Why did she leave me? Why do I keep getting overlooked when it comes to job interviews? Perplexed about why the marriage is again in a situation of dealing with issues again and again and again. Perplexed maybe about why life seems joyless. Or why? Well, why that black cloud seems to be following me everywhere I go. You see, we can be perplexed about any number of things. We can also feel a bit persecuted at times. Maybe picked on at school. Maybe not being fully accepted by the in-laws. Maybe it's a condemning look that we're labeled as being overweight or underweight. Maybe not smart, possibly even Christian. Maybe it's our view politically, or possibly you're persecuted because you're black, brown, or even white. Persecution can come in many different sizes, shapes, and flavors. Or possibly we can also feel struck down at times. Maybe it's due to an accident, but maybe struck down with some sort of physical or mental disability. Maybe it's a heart attack that came upon us, a stroke, possibly struggling with the darkness of depression. Maybe it's knocked down because of another miscarriage in your family, or stricken with loneliness, or possibly even that long, heavy season of grief over the loss of a loved one. You see, being struck down can just kind of sauce off at the knees. You know, you look at these four words, and however you may cut the cards, we can encounter these little or these large mini deaths, these tiny deaths along the way. And whether we're victims of life in it, or possibly they're self-inflicted by poor decisions that we've made along the way, all of these can prevent us from experiencing the life that Jesus would have us live. And that's expressed as he said in John chapter 10, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So I'll ask again, who here might need a raisin today. You know, all of us, I believe, could probably use one in some sort of capacity. And the reason is why Daniel brought out the particular, I guess, expression, a physical aid that he had today. It's in the very first line of our Bible passage today. This raisin and our need for a raisin is no secret to us. The first line says that we are clay jars. Two words, two powerful words that we need to dig into just a little bit. First one is clay. Brothers and sisters, we are reminded that we are made of clay. Molded and shaped by the Heavenly Father. Reached down and grabbed that soil at very in the beginning. He shaped us. He breathed His very breath into us. And we'll hear this next Wednesday, just a couple of days away, on Ash Wednesday. We solemnly reminded that we were created from dust, and to dust we shall return. And since we're made of clay, guess what? That means we're not made of metal. Reminded of a vehicular incident, a fender bender that involved a newer model car and one that was, an older model pickup truck. Guess who won that battle? Certainly not the one that was a shape from plastic, the newer model, but the older one that was built like a tank. You know, so many times I think that we feel that we are built invincibly. In reality, not so much so, for even in our prime, we can struggle. I think about many of the professional athletes along the way who are at the top of their game. They're in great shape. They were buff. They were ripped. They were strong. They were muscular. And yet their careers came to a very abrupt ending. I think of just a couple through the years. I think of a Kirby Puckett when I was growing up, Minnesota Twins, a fastball to the jaw, took him out to play no more. I think about a football's Darryl Stingley. He played for the New England Patriots, full-on collision, broke a vertebrae, left him paraplegic instantly. Trent McCleary, National Hockey League, Montreal Canadiens. He caught a puck square in the middle of the throat, crushed his larynx, ended his play as well. The one that really sticks in my mind, this one's unfortunately going to date me just a little bit, 1985, it was the Washington Redskins, quarterback Joe Theismann. He was sacked by a linebacker. And in this freakish position, a Theismann snapped both tibia and fibula. He suffered this compound fracture. They must have replayed it 44 times on TV. I was dumb enough to watch it 43 times. Nasty, nasty break. You see, these and so many more, superstars on the stage, kings of the court, gods, if you will, of their game, taken out in an instant, in the prime of their life, never to return to the game. All because they and all because we are made of clay. We're not those men and women of steel, but we're vulnerable. We're fragile, we're frail, and due to those afflictions and perplexities and persecutions and being struck down, clay tends to crumble. The text also says that we're not just clay, but we're jars. Whether that jar is made of clay, whether it's glass, whether it's pottery, maybe stoneware, ceramic, maybe even terracotta, Many times those jars over time will develop these fault lines, these fissures, fractures, and cracks. Many of them end up just simply broken on the porch. See, we too, we are not insulated from the experiences of affliction and persecution and perplexities and being struck down. We too develop flaws in our lives. It results then in us too becoming physically, emotionally, relationally, socially bruised and even broken. And yet, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a turn in this passage that we need to pay careful attention to, because there is yet great opportunity for us, even as we may come weathered and worn and wrecked, even as we are these clay jars, we do not have to be defined by our dark or our negative experiences. For many times, it is often in the hard things of this life, the hard things that we go through, that we become stronger and wiser, we become braver and even better. I think all of us have heard that idiom, no pain, no gain. And with those Beijing Olympics in our rearview mirror right now, or at least the winter, it's only the athletes who push their muscles to be the best. They're the ones that win the gold and the silver and the bronze. But, you know, you think about that process of what it takes for those athletes to achieve and to get to that particular point. What it takes for those muscles to be built along the way. The muscles only get stronger as they receive resistance and as they receive more weight upon them. And they go through that workout. And when they go through that workout, the body then has to repair and has to replace some of those broken muscle fibers. And in the process there, these muscle fibers regrow, and they regrow together, and they grow new muscle. And this cellular repair then thickens and widens and deepens the muscles into greater things. But it requires the pain in order for there to be gain. I don't know if you're like me. I'd rather avoid that pain many times for that gain. I'd rather avoid those afflictions and perplexities, the persecutions and the being struck down, as opposed to embracing it. For who? Who in their right mind would want to take on cancer or divorce or the loss of a spouse or bankruptcy or any of these trials? But brothers and sisters in Christ, it's actually when, not if. When these things happen to us, affliction, perplexity, persecution, or even being struck down, that we have the opportunity to grow in our faith. And you see, we grow one way or the other. We either grow further away from God, or we grow closer to God in the midst of these. I love how Romans 5 says this. It's circled in my Bible. I would encourage you to do the same. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says this. Now suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's as that song that Kelly Clarkson sings, "What doesn't kill you will make you stronger." There was a grandpa who shared with his granddaughter. They were sitting enjoying a piece of cake one day. The grandpa said, "I want to tell you a story about life." He said, "My grandpa, back in the day, he grew up in India, and he walked 10 miles to work every single day. Now, his son, who was then my father, he only had to walk 5 miles a day." He said, "When I came on the scene and started work, I got to ride a horse, and that was big potatoes. And then your daddy, which would be my son, the next generation, he drove a used car. And you, my beautiful girl, you, my beautiful baby, you will probably drive a brand new car, one right off the lot if you can find it these days. But my great-grandchildren, your children, will probably walk again." Why is that, Grandpa?" the young girl asked. Grandpa said, "It's because tough times create strong people. And strong people tend to create easy times. And easy times then create weak people. And then weak people, well, they create tough times again, which again makes us strong." I don't actually believe that particular thought process 100%. I don't think it's 100% true 100% of the time. But it says to me this. It says that we have a choice. We have a choice that when hardships enter into our life, when we go through a nasty storm or a difficult season, we can choose. We can either choose to put life on cruise control and let it define us, let it affect us, and we maybe go into a tailspin, or we can let it challenge us to dig deeper in life and in faith. You know, I think about a piece of coal that's in the ground. It remains a piece of coal if it's planted in the soft ground. But under those conditions of intense pressure and stress and strain and tension, it becomes, as we all know, a diamond over time. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we're called to be diamonds, not lumps of coal that lay in the ground. And that turns us to the real key in our Bible passage today, because it not only talks about the dark and the negative elements of this life that can take a bite out of us, due to the fact that we are jars of clay. But rather it reads this. We have this treasure in clay jars so that we can make it clear that this extraordinary power does not belong to us but to God. It says we are afflicted in every way but not crushed. We are perplexed but not driven to despair. We are persecuted but not forsaken. We are struck down but not destroyed. I love the resurrection language in this passage. For you see, what it says is that when we as Christians, when we become crashed or cracked or damaged or broken, and yet we as Christians trust that God can use our broken conditions for a greater purpose with us and with others, we can celebrate the resurrection side, even of our dark experiences. There was a man in a third world country who had two large pots. They were hanging one on each end of a pole. He carried it across his back, across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. For 2 years, this man would daily go down to the river from his house, and he would fill the pots up with water. Of course, by the time he got home, he only had 1.5 pots of water. You see, the perfect pot was able to hold all of its contents. And that pot was very proud of its ability to do what it was created to do. But the cracked pot became very ashamed of its imperfections. It was downcast that it was not able to accomplish the full load. It could only do half of what it had been created to do. The man noticed the temperament of the cracked pot, and he asked, why are you so sad? The pot said, well, for the past 2 years, I've only been delivering half of what you would have hoped that I could have delivered. It's because I have this crack in my side and the water leaks out. It leaks on the ground. And by the time we get home, because of my flaws, you don't get the full value of all the efforts that you put into this. Well, the man smiled and he said, have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed the beautiful flowers on your side of the path? They're not present on the perfect pot's side. The man said, I've always known about your imperfection, but it has truly been a blessing to me and to others. You see, I planted seeds on your side of the path. And so every day while we walk from the river to the house, you water these seeds, and these seeds have become plants, and the plants have become flowers. And without you and all of your brokenness, both sides of the path would be barren. But because of you, because of your imperfections, you have raised up life where there would have otherwise just been death. For those of us who are dealing or have dealt with an affliction, a persecution, a perplexity, or even been stricken down, allow God by faith. Allow God by faith to turn what feels like a death into a resurrection, raising you up. Our church supports a 3 Alcoholic Anonymous groups that meet here on the campus every single week. They meet 52 weeks a year, whether it's on Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day. I have to tell you, some of the finest, some of the best AA leaders were some of the former worst drunks by their own self-admission. All because they allowed God to turn an affliction into a raising them up. You and I, in our afflictions, our perplexities, our persecution, our being struck down, we too can use our brokenness to lead us in the battle. For I'm reminded of where a raisin comes from. Of course, it comes from a grape, does it not? And get this, 1 cup of grapes has about 15 grams of sugar, while a cup of raisins has 116 grams of sugar. A cup of grapes has about 104 calories, where a cup of raisins has 480. You see, the dried up version, the shriveled, the less appealing to the human eye, compared to the fresh, plump fruit, will always measure higher. So just because you or I look or feel like we're depleted or withered or wrinkled, does not mean that we are. Meaning that the stresses and the storms, the wear and the tear, and even the afflictions, the perplexities, the persecutions, and the being struck down can actually lead us to be stronger and sweeter and more courageous, and even with greater purpose than one might think. And it's all because we have the resurrection and the life living inside of us. So don't underestimate the power of God working in you, even in your hard times. For we have this raisin in this treasure jar of ours, and we call him Jesus. Amen.